Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Remain standing. We're going to read the Word of God. And I believe the Lord has a message for you. I have a message for you. I don't have nothing. I got whatever Jesus gave me. I'm going to give it to you. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 50. And you say, well, we're going to still talk about Joseph. Christmas is over. No, it's not, honey. It just started, baby. Because we want to find out some things about the character of Joseph that we can weave into our lives that will make us better servants of the Lord Most High. We're going to pick it up at verse 36 through 50. And you will be able to follow following verses with me. Now there was one, I got this right, yeah, there was one Anna, a prophetess of the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age, and she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And coming in an instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for him for redemption in Jerusalem. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast.
When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know him.
But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions.
And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers.
So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Verse 50 together, but they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Let's pray. Lord God, you're going to give us understanding today. You're going to give us wisdom today of the things that you taught Joseph, that you instilled in his life that will be valuable for us for this coming year. Lord, that you want to get us rooted and grounded in your word, but the way it's going to happen is if we understand the scriptures you've already given to us. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. Lord, what we proclaim that you have turned things around for us. This is not going to be sooner or later, but later is going to become sooner today because we listen to your word. And Lord, you're going to declare things to us. We thank you for this. We praise you for this in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. There are certain terms we use in our culture to describe various individuals that have taken the place of a father who was absent. Stepfather, foster dad, those types of terminology are being used. But as it comes to Joseph in this situation, they really don't apply. And it's not that I'm taking anything away from that particular terminology, but there's something about what God did that defies that particular explanation of his role, of a person who chooses to take on the responsibility and an appointment that is greater than any other person has ever known. Joseph willingly took on the responsibility. He could have said no. No way. Send somebody else, have somebody else be with Mary. But I want to take this a little bit further, deeper into our spirit, so we'll discover some things about Joseph and the decisions that he made. To not allow human frailty and weakness to disqualify, he humbly took the mantle of a godly assignment, never to be repeated again. There was only one Joseph. Here's the questions for today. Have you ever considered the responsibility entrusted to you to carry the name of Jesus in such a manner by the lifestyle you embrace that he will be glorified? Every person in here who names the name of Jesus, you have been given a mantle of authority to represent Jesus. And I tell you, there's nothing greater than that, no greater responsibility. Now I know it's, I'm only human, I'm just in a frailty of flesh. Hey, let's cut to the chase here. That responsibility, when you said yes to God, that's what you took on to your life. Let me move on a little bit further. Do you consider it a privilege to have Christ living in you daily? I think that's one of the things that we sometimes will miss. Because sometimes it's inconvenient when Jesus is in you, because he'll tell you to do some things that you may not want to do. You say, why did I follow Jesus? Lord, have mercy. Because you know there's a thing called conviction? Well, I'm going to move on because I'll come back to it later. Number three, does your life reflect that of someone having heard the word of God and made your plans subject to his direction or direct instruction? Well, Joseph was willing to allow the Holy Spirit to move in the life of his son Jesus. You say, well, why'd you call him his son Jesus? That's kind of, is that kind of sacrilegious? No, it's not. Matter of fact, it's the idea where he's being named as his father. And you say, well, but he really wasn't. Well, let's clarify that in just the next few moments. The true test of Joseph's fathering happened when Jesus was 12 years old. And that's the reason why I picked this particular scripture out. I thought it would be appropriate for us to kind of look at it, examine it a little bit further. First of all, Joseph had confidence and trust invested in Jesus. You say, well, yeah, he's the son of God. The kid's probably the most well-behaved kid on the block. Okay. Then why even put this in scripture? Skip the whole thing. I want to let you know there are some normal things that will happen in life that you think that God doesn't have to mention, but it was brought up for something that for us to learn, is that Jesus was in submission to someone he was greater than. I need to run that past you again because some of you missed it. Some of you are mad at your boss and you're looking at it cross-eyed and everything else because you feel like you are much smarter than he is. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand because we do not want to condemn nobody. He said, really? I'm supposed to listen to him? Are you kidding me? Jesus modeled something, but at the same time, Joseph modeled something as well. He had a responsibility. He said, well, you know, Jesus is Jesus. He'll, you know, we haven't seen him in a few days. He may come back some other time. You know, he knows the whole universe. He helped create it, so we don't have to worry about it. Let's go home. They went looking for him. Oh, this is going to sink in deep, I believe. Joseph realized that his role was to provide things in the natural to sustain Jesus' life. Joseph realized there was something special going on in Jesus' life. He realized that. And no doubt he trusted him, but didn't negate his responsibility to father him. I know that many of you have some very trustworthy children, and others you have to keep your eye on them all the time. Some are downright sneaky, and some of them are strange. They're strange. A little strange. Sweet kids, strange, strange, strange. And you figure, and both of these are, you got A and B, and I tell you what, they will show you A and B, okay? Well, Joseph was not going to release Jesus prematurely from his influence and direction. Now, that's important to know because he was wise enough to know that aside from Jesus' natural ability, he still needed to be under authority. I don't care how smart you are. Until you have learned to come under authority, you are the dumbest person in this room. You say, why? Well, that's awfully harsh. It's the truth. Because you don't know better than that. You just kind of just roll your eyes and do all kinds of strange things. You're stupid. Because the Bible says God created all authority. And once you get out of that particular authority flow, you got some problems that are not easily resolved. He took his responsibility seriously to father him. He sought his son out to bring him home where he belonged. He said, he's in the temple. They're having a revival meeting in the temple. Everybody's looking to him. He's interpreting scripture. Why would you take him out of that arena and take him home to take care of making the latest carpentry project you're doing? Really? And that's our problem. We sometimes take the mundane, we call it the mundane, and God says, you need to go home and spend time with your wife or spend time with your kids, and you're staying there. If I work a little bit harder, I'll make some overtime, then I'll take them on a long trip. Honey, they may not stay around for the trip, okay? Because you think you can outsmart God with your wisdom. Your wisdom is nothing compared to God's infinite wisdom. And Jesus was smart enough to leave those folks in the temple and say, you know what, I'm going home with mom and dad. See you later. Hope your life goes well. I'm thinking, huh? How can this smart kid be with these two ordinary people? That's our problem. Let me unfold a little bit more. Joseph appeared to be confident in his role in Jesus' life. His actions were based upon the words that he had heard from God through the angels. He was willing to do whatever was necessary to keep his vow and commit to raise Jesus the right way. And he recognized that God will fill in the blanks concerning the things that he did not know regarding Jesus' assignment. I'm going to take you quickly to seven things that we can learn from Joseph because I got a few more things later on. We can learn at least seven things from the example that Joseph modeled in his response to what appeared to be death to a vision of what his life should look like. Now, in order for these things to transpire, Joseph had to believe that he was talking to an angel that controlled his destiny, and it was okay to forget about what he thought his life was going to look like and really look to God to fulfill it. I want to say this to several people here today. The plan that you set out for your life is not the right plan. As soon as I get my PhD, and so I get this, I'll just go out and evangelize the world. Honey, hello. The only PhD, and I said this a few weeks ago, is a PhD is to pray heaven down. That's the only PhD you need. Anything beyond that, you ain't gonna get far, okay? That's nothing against education, but you better check your plans out with Jesus first. Yes. Instead of rewriting the script. Well, anyway, so first of all, he appeared to be a death to a vision that I'm sure that Joseph put aside because he probably said, well, I'm going to marry this girl, and we're going to have some kids, and we'll have a carpentry shop, and I'll raise some good kids. And it didn't include finding himself in a position of being the parent to the Son of God. Number one, doing what is right for the right reason makes you righteous. Doing what is right for the wrong reason makes you a hypocrite. How's that work? If you're following Jesus I just don't want to go to hell. So that's my fire insurance. I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't want to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. Okay. You need to go to hell. Oh, did I say that? Oh, Jesus. If that's the only reason you're following Jesus, I don't want to burn forever and ever, y'all. That's it. Something about loving Jesus, when you love Jesus, you can't wait to tell somebody else about him. It kind of spills over in the conversation. You don't have to create a conversation. It just comes out naturally. You're righteous for the right reason. Number two, our plans must be subject to God's will without reservation. I will do this as long as you don't do this or as long as you do that. Scripture or not? It doesn't exist. I refer to Joseph once again. A man who's terrified and he wants to make right decisions. And when he has this encounter with an angel, he did everything that he's supposed to do. But he doesn't do it one time. He does it a second time. After Jesus is born, the angel appears to him again and says, you need to pack up everything you have and get this baby and your wife out of town, move to Egypt, because his life's in danger. God will uproot many times things in your life that you think are so permanent, but it will be for his purpose, and we have to be willing to say yes to that. Let me move on. Number three, our disappointment may really be God's appointment to release us into his destiny for our life. I will not ask for the hands of people that are here that are disappointed. I see it on your face. Or you can try to hide behind. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. Isn't God good? Isn't this the love of Jesus something wonderful? Oh, you're so fake. Plastic as you can be. Like Teflon. Everything just kind of slides off of you. Disappointment is often God's appointment. Because you thought it was going to go this way, and God did it the other way. But when you stop and you get your mind back, you figure out, oh, if I'd done it that way, ooh, it'd been the biggest mess ever. It takes you a while to figure it out, doesn't it? God is gracious, and he'll allow us to go to that particular point. Move on to number four. Fear should never overrule obedience to what God is asking us to do. I can quote the scripture, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Then why are we so crazy? What is the interventive peace that comes between a sound mind and us just losing everything? I'll tell you what. A lot of it is in the core of our being is we don't trust God. I don't trust God at times. Can I make my confession? Can I figure out, well, this, you know, and you kind of spin around for a while, then all of a sudden you calm down, you start believing what you've been confessing all this time, and then the peace of God comes that passes understanding. Amazing. Number five, you're going to love this one. Favor will rest upon the lives of those who choose to obey without knowing all the details. Wow. You talk about a person who likes to know what's going on. Me. Kind of figure it out and this type of thing. Just go through all the stuff. And God says, will you shut up? Leave it alone. Let me do it. But the word I want to use for you, favor, is one of those things. How does God show favor to people? You know, have you ever asked someone to do you a favor and they didn't do it? No, don't vote. They might be here. Favor is not entitlement. I got to say it again because the people over here, they don't believe that. I'll try these. Favor is not entitlement. We live in an entitlement culture that says that God, if I do this, if I go to church on Sunday, if I read the Bible, I'm entitled to certain things happening in my life. That is not true. That's self-righteousness. Favor is that God will bestow something on you that it just absolutely blows your mind, saying, I can't believe God did this for me. He gave me this job. He gave me this. You know, some of you got favor for Christmas. You got things from people that you didn't even like. And they baked you some cookies, and they were good. Now what you going to do? Because you can't bake. It will rest upon the life of those who choose to obey without knowing all the detail. Let me move on. Purity and integrity should be allowed to overrule doubt and unbelief. The part that I didn't make a big deal out of, but I'll make some emphasis to, is that Joseph made a choice to keep his wife pure until after Jesus was born. That was his choice. Because there was nothing in the message from the angel that says, and by the way, don't touch her till after Jesus comes. You say, well, did you do a little research? Yeah, I did. That says something to me about the quality of us wanting to be God to be first, and we deny ourselves. Our culture doesn't do that. If any particular degree, we feel like we're deprived. Move on to number 7. Our plans must be subject to divine interruptions. One of the most profound sermons I ever heard was preached in 1970 up in Surrey, BC, Canada. Gentlemen, the title of the sermon was, God Has Not Called You to Convenience. Or rather, God's called you to inconvenience. Doesn't that sound exciting? I mean, living in a world where the bus never is on time, people are never on time, you can't expect anything, you know, everything just makes you inconvenient, where you're just kind of on edge all the time. That's not really what he's saying. But there'll be times that God will arbitrarily, seemingly, but with his timing, will say, it's not going to happen on the time frame you think it is, but it'll be in the right time frame for me. That's the reason why the Bible reminds us to wait on the Lord. Well, let me take you to this. Fostering obedience to the word of God. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Every person in this room right now has a possibility of being totally deceived. I want to tell you how that works. Because you will hear the word today, word of God today, and you say, oh, that was really great. Man, I really got a lot out of it. And you, before you hit MLK, you will forget 90% of what I told you. And I'll tell you why. Because you have no desire to do it. You just want to hear it. Oh, that sounded good. Man, I was down with that man. I heard it all. That was the bomb. He knew I'd put it out there and make you laugh too while you're here. Are you crazy? I'm not here to entertain you. I may use that a little bit of time, but listen to this. It says, be doers of the word. Joseph was a doer of the word that he received from the Lord. His character was such that he honored and revered the word of God. Do you honor and revere the word of God? Don't say anything. I want you to go to hell. Because as a doer of the word, hearing is not doing. Hearing is not believing. Until you're doing it, you don't really know it. I got to let that marinate for a while. Some people are getting it. Well, he made his flesh subject to the word of God. He brought his emotions into alignment with the word of God. And many of us, including myself at times, are emotional hearers. It sounds good in the moment, but when you're tested on it, it don't sound so good. Because our emotion, all the emotion of that hype of just being here says, man, I got to do this. Now what? Obedience is hearing the word of God and taking actions in accordance to what you have heard. There will be many people here today that will have to make a response to the word of God today. It will either be yes or no, not maybe. Maybe is not a response. Maybe is a delay tactic. What about this? Surrendering to God is a core element of walking by faith. I don't know a whole lot about military things. I was never in the military. But I've watched enough on TV and heard enough from other people's experiences that when a particular officer gives you an assignment, it's not a suggestion. You're not right, Pete? He's not suggesting what you might do. If you have time, why don't you clean up the barracks? But don't worry about it when you get to it. Not how it works. But we treat the word of God like that. We're going to hear some things today. It's kind of enlightening. We have options. They're out here on the table. And you can just kind of pick smorgasbord, whichever ones you like that really fit you at this moment in time. But we don't want to interrupt the flow of the way you feel like your life should be going. And when you find something you really like, just go ahead and take some. Really? Okay. Joseph embraced the fact that God had chosen him to raise the Son of God, and that was all that really mattered. When he got the assignment from the angel, he affirmed that particular assignment. Everything in his life revolved around the whole idea that my assignment is to find, is to take care of, to nurture, to raise the Son of God, and all of my plans are not important because what God says is the most important thing for this child. That's my number one assignment. Jesus has to be number one in your life all the time. Not when it's convenient, but all the time. You filter every assignment or every decision through who Jesus is and what he's doing in your life. Somebody say amen, because I'm feeling lonely. What does that mean? It means you don't get a break. You don't get a pass. Well, Joseph saved his life by losing it for the sake of Christ. Matthew 16:25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is Jesus, a quote from him. If you're trying to save your life or save the best till last or whatever it is, I'll tell you, it's a huge mistake. But let me break it down for you. Once Joseph accepted Jesus into his life, everything changed. You believe that? You know, his vocation, I mean, he still was a carpenter, but his focus for life focused on that one person. Now, listen to me carefully. Once we accept Jesus into our life, everything should change. I got 5 people that believe that. The rest of you, I got to pray real hard. Jesus. No. He was subject to the Spirit of God to lead and to guide him in every area of his life. This is Joseph. He made himself subject to whatever the Spirit of God was directed. Now, Joseph understood that all the plans that he made could be interrupted at any time. Are you in that space? Not really. But you know something? I believe you want to be. And I rebuke every spirit that tells you you can't be. Because the Holy Spirit is to redirect your life into ways that you probably never dreamed were possible. That means embracing the responsibility of raising the Son of God was his life, and he did whatever was expedient in order to care for his family. But beyond that, he said, he did a couple other things. Joseph saved his own life by losing it for Jesus' sake. You'll only save your life by losing it. Doesn't make sense, but it's right. Here's a couple other things. Today we appear to be educated beyond our obedience. I'm going to break this down for you, so get ready. educated beyond our obedience. I wish I was wise enough to have created this phrase. I didn't create it. Something I read. But I did break down these next few things for you. Hopefully they will make sense to you. We have all kinds of information available at the click of a mouse or the installation of an app on our cell phone, right? Do you have the so-and-so app? Oh, honey, you put it on there. It'll tell you the best place to go. It'll tell you where to do this. You can put an app on your phone about anything. And it'll tell you how to do it or get it or fix it or whatever. So we're in an app culture. You don't have to worry about things. Just put an app on your phone, hit that thing, it'll tell you where to go, and it saves you hours and hours of just trying to fuss over stuff. But I want to show you the hazard from that. Even though our knowledge base may seem to be limitless, knowledge without obedience and accountability for what you know is useless. Let me repeat that. Knowledge without obedience and accountability for what you know is useless. Accountability for what you know. When you leave this place today, if the Lord was standing there at the door and he asked you a question, what did you take away from the message today? He said, Jesus should be first. Lovely. No, what did you take away? What adjustment are you going to make in order for Jesus to have priority? I want to hone in on a couple other things. Well, unlike Joseph, we often engage in passive listening. Another term that I'm kind of coining for you. We listen cafeteria style, selecting only those things that we believe are appealing to our present appetite. If you're fearful, you should fix so. Oh, I'm fearful. Let's get all the things about fear. Or I need money. Let me give all the things for faith for money to take care of my finances. We pick out those things that will attack the areas in our life. And the other things in our life, we're living raggedy. We leave those things alone. Because we're not raggedy enough for those. Hear me today. We must not filter what God says through our desires, wants, and needs. I need to repeat that. We must not filter the things that God says through our desires, our wants, and our needs. Boy, this is painful. But it's right. That means we must be willing to hear the word of the Lord and respond with loving obedience, regardless of how our flesh may feel about the request. That's the reason why I keep putting the finger on Joseph. It did not feel good to Joseph when he heard that his wife, girl he's going to take for a wife, is already pregnant. It didn't feel good. His heart was broken. He's devastated. He's saying, what? We've known each other for a year or so. And I just imagine what our first child was going to look like and this type of thing. And you're telling me she's pregnant already? Does that ruin a person's life? Or at least for the moment, is saying, but I thought I was going to be first. I want to ask you something right now. And listen to me carefully. How do you handle it when you find out that someone else has displaced you out of being first? I'm not talking about on the freeway. Or in a grocery line. But I'm talking about something that's really personal to you. That you're afraid to even talk about it. Well, there's more to it than this. Being a doer is more than a one-time act of obedience. And like Joseph, we are constantly to say yes to the Lord no matter what he asks of us. The answer will always be yes. Yes. Before he asks you, yes. How about this? Joseph signed up to be the father to the Son of God for the rest of his life. Nobody, as far as I know, most theologians don't know how long that Joseph lived, but it appears that about the time that Jesus died, he had already passed away. It's very probable because from what the historians are telling us, that Joseph was probably, you know, could have been 10, 15, 20 years older than Mary when he married her. So it's no big deal. But for the rest of his life, his focus was whatever is going to make Jesus successful. I'm going to do it. I'm almost to the place where I'd like to be. He was committed to do whatever it took in order to fulfill his role without reservations. But this last little piece, I think if we don't get it at this point, I don't know what I can tell you. Listening without doing is like auditing a class. Now, for those of you who don't know what auditing is, you can go to a university and you can take a class, but you can audit the class. And I want to spell out for you what that really means. The audit class, we must avoid the possibility of living our life as though we have the option to audit God's command for obedience to his word. Auditing means this. You can audit a class in a college or university, but here's the thing about it. You pay your tuition to go to the class. So you paid for it. Okay, but it goes like this. You can attend classes. You can hear the lectures. But because you audited the class, there's no requirement to take the test or do the homework. That's how you live. Some of you are in the kingdom of God auditing. Ooh, I know that hurts somebody. Ooh, Jesus. That was him. No requirement to take the test. He said, I'm just kind of in for Jesus. You know, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. I'm auditing the class. Oh, test? I ain't taking no test. I'm auditing. Homework? I ain't doing no homework. No, I ain't doing no homework. I'm just here to listen and to find out what this class is all about. And when it's over with, I'm going to be smarter. Well, I might be smarter. I don't know whether I'm smart because I ain't going to take no tests. See what I know. Stupid. You can listen to the instructor, but you have no obligation to do anything he says. I have to give you an experience I had. I was at PSU years ago. And in particular, I can't remember what class it was. Philosophy class. Psychology class. And the gentleman comes in, and he was a professor, and he had tenure, and he was retiring that year. So what he did, he'd come into class, he would do this every single day. He'd come into class, he'd take off his coat, he'd fold it in half, he'd set it on the table, he'd take off his hat, he'd brush off the brim, he'd sit it on top of there, he'd reach into his inside pocket, this was back when smoking was okay, he'd take out his pipe, he'd fill it with tobacco, he'd tamp it down three times, put it in his mouth, light a match, puff two times, say, what do you want to talk about? He did it every single day. And you know what he told me? He says, I have tenure in this university, and I don't have to teach anything. This is my last year. If you want to pass this class, read the book and do the final exam. Now, what do you want to talk about? He did not teach one bit. He was a reverse audit. I'm serious. And after, you know, I said, oh, he couldn't be serious. So I went back the next time. He did the same thing. Went back the next. And I said, oh, I'm not going to do this. So I didn't go to class. You know, I went there and took the test, passed the test, passed the class. He wasn't interested in teaching you anything. But that's not how Jesus is. Oh, I got to do this real quickly. Worship team, help me out. Come on up here and I can do this real quick. Spiritual laws, that you may just think, because you've heard the word, that you know it. Joseph realized he had some decisions to make according to what he heard. But we can easily forget what we have heard if we fail to put it into practice. What you heard today, I need to tell you this, you are obligated to put into practice by the Spirit. What you mean? I don't have to do anything. Just wait. In order to move from hearing to doing, we must make some serious decisions regarding God, what God has commanded. I'll go through these real quick. Number one, allow the Spirit of God to access your emotions to calm your fears. If you're fearful today, the Holy Spirit is here to deal with those fears. Perfect love casts out fear. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When you allow God's love to be, it will cast out all fears. Number two, count the cost of obedience of how it will impact your life. No man should follow Jesus without counting the cost. He said, well, you know, if I come to Jesus today, you know, my girlfriend may leave me. If she's more important than Jesus, stay with her. Pastor, what did you just say? Stay with her. That's anti-biblical. Mm-mm. No, it's not. God does not want half-hearted people. If you're not done yet, stay there. Stay in the pig pen, wallow around a while, okay? And when you're done, be done. Number three, allow the Holy Spirit to confirm your decision with the Word of God. The Word of God I preach to you today is an affirmation. You're supposed to be an effectual doer of the Word of God. That's the only way it'll work. Number four, be willing to make changes in your life that will be inconvenient and uncomfortable. That means I can't hang out with my homies no more. That's exactly what it means. That means I got to stop doing my drug. That's exactly what it means. That means I just can't be drinking and stinking. That means exactly what it means. Get a clue. You half stepping, half baked. Well, let me leave that alone. Number five, here we go. Do not fear the disapproval of those who are not subject to the will of God or His Word. What are you worrying about, homie, over here? He ain't doing nothing. And he's going to want you to continue to do nothing, so he'll feel pretty good. Let him go. Number six, embrace a life that will lead you to, I'm going to say it anyway. Embrace a life that may lead you to isolation or loneliness. One of the reasons why we hang around with people what we do, because we don't like being alone. You know they're crazy. But you know, I just don't like being alone. Number seven. Allow the faithfulness of God to shield and protect you from worry and doubt. Number eight, realize that every sacrifice that you are making is to make Jesus known to those who have yet to experience what you have by knowing Him personally. Here's the last two real quick. Take up your cross daily to follow the Lord. That's what the Lord said. But here's number 10. Continually walk in faith as a hearer and a doer of God's word. Well, I gave you a lot of information, way, probably, I guess in some cases, maybe a little bit too much. In other cases, it's what you've wanted to really know and understand. If you walk out these doors today and you don't make a commitment to Jesus, it's not the Word of God's fault. I've given you an example. I've given you various things that happened that Joseph made some decisions. They're all based upon God, what He told him. And we need to do the same thing. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.